Good. Or your phones, open them up. But Matthew chapter 11, we're going to be in Matthew 11 for a few minutes. Glory to God. Remember that this Sunday, Janine will be speaking. Hallelujah. Our missionary to Tijuana, they're moving back home, and so we're going to take up a good offering to help them get back home. Amen. How many know it takes some money to move? Yeah, come on, it takes Marilyn knows, she's been Texas and back a few times. It takes some money to move, so we're going to help them, and God's going to supply all of their needs. Amen? Glory to God. If you'll open your Bibles again to Matthew chapter 11, and let's look at verse 28. I'm going to read these verses, and then we're going to go back just a little bit. It says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The King James says, "Come unto me." And the New King James says, "Come to me." Other translations translated differently, but he's saying tonight for us to come to him. Right? When? Right now. Come on, right now. Always, all the time. Come to me. Jesus is giving us an invitation here. Come to me. But it's interesting because we're going to look at a couple other things. But watch what he says. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." Come on, anybody have struggles in this life? You know, we might act like we don't. We want everybody to think we don't. But we all have trouble, right? We all have late. But when we come, sometimes even as Christians, we want to go, "Well, Lord, you know, I just don't want to put on like I have any trouble. I come to church and you know, I want everybody to look at me smiling and I don't have any trouble. I've got no struggles. And Jesus says, "Quit being phony." Right? Quit being phony. Be real. Now, I believe in speaking faith over our situations and speaking God's word over our situations. But the fact is where we're in trouble, we need to run to him. And tonight, man, that's what he's telling us. Come to me tonight. Come to me. And that's not just for somewhere off in the future or when we get to. He said, "Come to me, all you who are labor." And in this life, man, I mean, sometimes it's struggle. But the labor and heavy laden, it means that we're tired. We're exhausted with toil or with burdens or grief and carrying a heavy load. He said, "Many, anything's apply to you tonight? Any area of your life where this might be trouble in you? Well, don't run from God. Run to Jesus. Come unto me." It's an invitation that in the middle of our struggle of life, he says, "Come to me." But there's great promises within these verses, right? That we're going to get help if we come to him. Come on. I might have trouble, but I got the one who's promised to help me in the trouble. That's so good. That's so good. So now watch this. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." He says, to take my yoke upon you. Now we don't think of a yoke very, very often, but back in the day, a yoke was when you had two oxen and they were yoked together. It's that wooden thing that went over their backs. And he said, "Look, take my yoke upon you." And it's really interesting. I'm not a farmer, not a rancher, so this is all second hearsay information because I have no idea. But they say what they do when they get an oxen team together is they put an old, strong oxen with a young oxen so that the young oxen can learn how to operate. But really, the old oxen is doing most of the work. He's pulling, and the other one's just kind of trotting along. And that's the picture if we'll go through life yoked to Jesus. Right? That will keep him where he needs to be. He'll carry the load. Right? He'll carry your burdens. He'll carry what you can't handle. But we have to come back to the place where we're trusting Him to mean what He said and that He'll back up what He said. Right? How many have ever known people that have said something but they don't stand behind their word at all? Right? Come on. We've all known that. And if we're honest, we've probably done that ourselves sometimes. Right? We've made promises that we haven't kept. But see, Jesus is God. And God is not a man that He should lie. If He said it, He'll do it. And so if He says, come to Me, we can come to Him. But if He said to take His yoke upon us, then we can rest assured that He'll carry the load. Oftentimes, we're going to get to this verse in a minute, but he said in 1 Peter, to cast all your cares upon Me because I care for you. Here's what we do. We cast our cares on Him and say, well, I kind of need those back. Right? I need to think about those. I need to meditate on those. I need to figure out how to get rest in the middle of my struggle, in the middle of my burden. And He's saying, oh, no. Cast them onto Me and leave them there, knowing that I'll take care of you. Right? I'll lead you. I'll guide you. I'll protect you. Is that true or not? Come on. I've been in this a little while, and I know that things don't always work out the way I plan for them to work out. Right? But they always work out for my good. Because God is with me. God is with me. God is with you tonight. God is with you tonight. But we have to come to the place where we understand. Listen, you're not going to go to Jesus unless you need Jesus. It's like, I'm not going to the doctor until, I mean, I'm a man, right? I'm not going to the doctor until it's the last resort. Yeah. Right? I'm not going to a counselor. You know, I'm not doing that. Why? Because the need in my own eyes is not great enough in order for me to act on going to the doctor. So what happens? I go through pain unnecessarily, where if I would have went to the doctor earlier, this thing could have been handled a lot quicker, a lot easier. And so oftentimes we don't come to Jesus because we go, I got this. This is too little to worry Jesus about. But He said, Jesus said this. Man, what are you suffering with tonight? What's got you under a load? Come to Me. Come to Me. But if you come to Me, know without a shadow of a doubt that I'll help you. And then hook up with Me. Right? And if you hook up with Me, man, you're going to find rest. Rest, it's interesting. Rest means to cause one to cease from any movement or labor in order to recover. Let me say that again. That's so good. It's to cause one to cease from any movement or labor in order to recover. And to collect strength and to repose and to take ease and to refresh. Man. Some people say, and I understand, man, I just need to get away. I need a rest. That's good, and it's okay to get away. But we can go to Jesus every day, wherever we are, 24/7, and get the rest that we need. And we're looking for outside sources when the actual true rest comes from the inside. Come on tonight. Come to Me. Jesus is telling us, is putting it out before us right now. You got trouble? I know you do. But come to Me. Come to Me. Come to Me. We can get to the place where worry comes, frustration comes, anxiety comes because we don't know how to get out of the mess that we're in. But in the midst of the mess, if we go to Jesus, He gives us rest. And it may not be that we have the answer today, but if we know that He's with us, then we know the steps will be ordered of Him and we'll be all right. Right? I mean, I've got troubles, you got troubles. We could talk of our troubles. But I'd rather talk about Jesus. He's talking to His disciples. He's talking to people. And He said, look, it, come unto Me. In fact, in the context of this chapter, he's talking to Pharisees talking to all kinds of people, but he says, you're laboring, you're working, you're trying to work so hard to get to God, who he was, right, is not going to work. You need to come to me in faith, knowing that I'll be there for you and that I won't let you go. I won't leave you alone. Tonight, right now, here in July of 2020, Jesus is saying the same thing to you tonight. And I know this is a right now word for somebody, because God wants you to know that no matter what you're struggling with, no matter what you're going through, he's for you. But not only is he for you, he's with you. So in your prayer time, you know, it's okay to ask God for what you have need of. I mean, I have no problem with that. But really, when you grow a little bit in it, you quit asking him for what you need, because you know he's going to supply all your needs. It's good sometimes just to be quiet and let him, you know, fill you with his presence. Because if you know he's there with you, well then, what do I have to worry about? Where's the struggle if I'm yoked up with him? Come on. Well, it's my boss. You've not met my boss. My boss is the problem. But look, he said, come unto me, all you. That means every one of us. Sometimes we think, I can go to God or I can visit with Jesus, but I better be perfect in order to do it. Right? So I've heard this said before, that some people say, well, you know, Jesus loves you, man. Why don't you come to God? He said, they'd say, well, you know, I need to get cleaned up first. Right? I need to quit smoking. I need to quit doing drugs. I need to quit drinking. I need to quit all. And then I can give my, I'll be good enough, right, to be able to come to Jesus. Well, the reality is you'll never make it. Because none of us are good enough. None of us, we're all in the same position, right? We're all sitting here with the same deal. But watch this. He told us in the condition that we're in right now, come unto me. Come unto me. So tonight we're going to come unto him, right? Lord, I'm just going to put my burdens at your feet. I'm going to trust you with my life. And God, even though things don't seem to be going right, Lord, in the end, we know that you win and things are going to take care of themselves. Right? This in our country, in our lives, if you watch the news at all, is a time of total unrest. And if you go to other people or try to figure everything out, you go to Facebook and you try to, it's half your friends are this way, half your friends are that way, half your friends won't talk to you anymore because you put a post up. You know, all of that stuff, it doesn't bring rest. It brings confusion. So how about shutting that off for a while and just giving into his presence? Say, here I am, Jesus. See, I've been learning more and more, and I learned this years ago, but I let it slip. But more and more when I go to my prayer time, I just shut up. I say, Father, here I am in your presence, and I'm going to learn to just be still and know that you're God. Right? Come unto you. Well, if Jesus has given me an invitation to come, he's the same one. These people that he's talking to, the same one that he saw raise the dead, heal the sick, feed 5,000, you know, on and on and on. He saw all these miracles, and he said, come unto me. Come on, if I go to him, my troubles are over, right? And I'm not saying that the struggle is over, but you can ease yourself from the struggle. Does that make sense to you tonight? I want his rest. No, read that again. Read this. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You know, the battleground that we have, as Joyce Meyer had a book on it called The Battlefield of Our Mind. Because our thought life is the very thing that keeps us from the rest that God has for us. All of us come from different positions, and probably all of us to different degrees have a sense of, I'm less than I need to be, so I'm inadequate in myself. And really, as far as God's concerned, there's truth in that, but the reality is he loves us so much that he makes up for all of that. so that I don't have to come to Him in my righteousness anymore, or my being able to be right. I can now come to Him in His righteousness. He paid the way so that when I come to Him, He looks at me through the blood of Jesus. We sang a song, and I love the song, Take Me In, right? Past, you know, into the holy place, past the brazen, all that. I want to go into the whole. What that's referencing is the Old Testament temple. And in the Old Testament temple, they did the sacrifices, but once a year they took the blood on the Day of Atonement past the curtain where the presence of God was. And so the priest, the high priest had to go do it once a year, and only he could do it. But he had to be sanctified in order to do it. There was a whole ritual. But when Jesus died, the Bible says that that veil that was keeping humanity from the presence of God because of the sin that was associated with them was ripped in two. And I like what it said. It wasn't from the bottom to the top. It was from the top to the bottom. In other words, God took out every obstacle from us being able to be in His presence. Whew, I don't know about you, but I like that. I like the presence of God. And the only thing that can keep us out of the presence of God tonight is doubt and unbelief if you're saved. You say, yeah, but you don't know what I did yesterday. Well, God does. But He said that if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What does that mean? Come on in. Come on in. You're holy. You're holy. I used to work in the Puget Sound Naval Shipyard, and there were a couple of different things, like if you were doing lead abatement or if there was mercury involved, I worked in the nuclear thing, you'd have to go through a decontamination section. When you went to work on something, you'd be all clothed up, and when you came through, you went through this decontamination thing, and they took meters. And with those meters, if they didn't find anything, then you're good to go out. Jesus, by His blood, took that meter. So every time He says, come unto me, and every time you go to Him, that meter has already been applied, and you're fine. Come on in. Because of the blood of Jesus. Right? He said, come unto me. Tonight, He wants you to come to Him just the way you are. Just exactly the way you are. Just exactly the way you are. Isn't it interesting? And I think I find this so cool and so refreshing to me. He said this. Remember that on the cross there was, you know, two thieves, one on each side. And man, they were bad dudes. And the one was kind of jabbing him a little bit, but the one said, man, don't you know who we're hanging here with? Again, this is Bruce's translation. Don't you know, man, realize who we're talking to? Man, shut up. Shut up. We're in the presence of holiness here. And he turned to him and said, Rabbi, he said, remember me when you get to your kingdom. And Jesus, this is a thief, he was dying because of the sin and the terrible things that he did on this earth. He was sentenced to death, the cruel, humiliating death. And at the last minute, he said, Jesus. And Jesus said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Come on. What does that mean? It's never too late. There's nobody outside that can't come inside if they'll just take Jesus at His word. Glory to God. Glory to God. We got some popping going on tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. See, tonight, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you've been through. But what I want to tell you tonight, without any reservation or any doubt in my heart and my mind, that just the way you are sitting here right now or sitting at home right now, Jesus is still saying the same thing to you. Come unto me. Come to me. I find this interesting in verse 9:14. Well, let's start in 13. Then the little children were brought to him, and that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven." Now we look at that, and isn't that cute? All the kids running up to him. There's something about kids running up to you. It's awesome. I love to be smothered by kids, but that's me. But listen to what his disciples said. His disciples said, "Man, he's too busy for these kids. These kids are not important enough for Jesus to have time for them." And Jesus said, "Man, stop. Let them come, because they're important to me." And then he went on to say, "Such is the kingdom of heaven." In other words, tonight, your viewpoint or other people's viewpoint of how you don't measure up has nothing to do with the fact that Jesus says you're welcome. Tonight, right now, no matter what you're going through, Jesus, welcome. "Yeah, but you know, I didn't pray enough today." You're welcome. Come on in. You know, I said something I shouldn't have said yesterday. Come on in. You're welcome. Right? But I'm just, you know, I'm an alcoholic. I'm a murderer. I've done all these things. He says, "Come on. Come on. Tonight, come on. Right now, come on. This is the way the kingdom operates. I did everything that's necessary for you to be welcomed into my kingdom. Come on." And so even when we're looking at other people, the enemy will put in our hearts that, well, you know, they're too far gone. They're too far gone. They're just, you know, I mean, they've been that way for 40 years. They're too far gone. I'm telling you tonight that you're never too far gone. Tonight, right now, come unto me. All you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I feel His peace right now. I can feel His presence right now. If you'll just allow your heart to be softened to His voice right now. And I'm not talking about I'm hearing external things. They're just a peace that's coming to my soul right now. Because He's backing up His word with His promise. So good. That's how the kingdom of operates. The only way to get into the kingdom is through the door, and the door is Jesus. But Jesus has already done everything that's necessary for you to be clean. All you have to do is come to Him, just like you are. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. We quoted this a little bit earlier, but I want to look at it again. 1 Peter and chapter 5. I want to start in verse 5, and we'll get to where we need to go. He says, "Likewise, you younger people, submit to yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble." Now, sometimes we get a view of what humility is, and that's the beggarly person that thinks, "I'm not worthy, I'm not good of anything, and I'm just, you know, dust walking," all of those. But really what true humility is that I'm submitting my thoughts, my opinions, and my actions unto what God thinks. So I'm going to come in alignment with God thinks. I'm going to put what He says, so if you think you're not good enough and God says you are good enough, then you have to humble your opinion and submit it to His opinion. Right? And if you come to that place, you're welcome. It says God resists the proud. But watch this. He gives grace to the humble. I like grace. What about you? You need grace tonight? Right? I mean, my dad would just say it this way. Cut me some slack. Or we used to say that all the time. Man, cut me some slack. What does that mean? I might not be perfect, but ease up. Right? Ease up. I'm trying the best I can. right? I like the one guy, I think it was Orange County Choppers, I like the bike show. Anyway, he said this, he said, "Son, I know you're doing the best you can, but do a little better." But God is saying, come to me just the way you are, but come with an understanding that I need God. I need you, God, and I'm coming to you just the way I am. And he says, "Oh, you are? Okay, here's some grace." And I like this acronym. Is what is grace? It's God's riches at Christ's expense. He gives out his riches because of Christ, what Christ did on the cross. And we're recipients of that because we've humbled ourselves to the Word. So tonight we can come to God because he is. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "But you must come to God and believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Somebody said, "Well, I can't find God. Well, the reality is it says if you seek him, you'll find him. So as soon as you start seeking, you can start rejoicing, whether you feel like it, whether it seems like it or whatever. I'm seeking, so I'm finding. Right? It's so good. But he says this. Now watch this, verse 6. "Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." In other words, if you let God, who loves you more than anything, speak to your heart about who you are and what your purpose is, there's a time where he's going to take you and bring you to a place where you can be exalted in his eyes. So good. Where he can use you for his purposes. Verse 7. It says, "Casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you." Casting all of your care. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but you ever watch those old Western? I'm a Western buff. I grew up, you know, 50s and 60s, so watched all the Westerns. But they'd have pack horses. And they'd have these pack horses just loaded down, right? And you know, after 8 hours of going through the mountains or whatever, they say, "Man, we need to take the burden off of these horses, because if we don't, they're going to die." And so what they do is they'd unload all of the goods, all of the things. They didn't leave them on overnight. Why? Because they had to take off the burden. And God wants us to take off the burden. How? By casting the burden onto him. How does that look? I mean, in the real world, how does that operate? Whatever you're going through, it doesn't mean that when you say, "Lord, I give you the care," that everything is automatically going to disappear tomorrow. But what it says is, "Lord, I'm going to do everything that I can, but at the end of the day, I'm going to trust you with everything else." In other words, you're the one who's going to see me through this. It doesn't make sense. I don't know how I can make it out of the situation that I'm in, but Lord, I'm going to trust you. So I'm casting the care of how, when, why, and where, and I'm putting that onto you. I mean, think about relationships. Maybe you've had relationships that have gone sour and or even people that, you know, haven't talked to you for years and years and years, and you just, there's a burden on the inside of you where that's concerned. Man, you can just cast the care of it on the Lord and say, "Lord, there's nothing I can do about it, but I just release that to you." I was talking with a man just this week, and he was talking about a person that had passed away, and he said, "Man, I wish I could have had one more conversation with him. I needed to tell him something. I needed to, you know, apologize to him. I needed to do." You know, I said, "Well, I understand that. It would have been good if you could have done that. But you don't have to carry the care of that, because Jesus will take care of it." I like that. Listen to this again. "Casting all of your care upon him, for I care for you." And that's the key to knowing how much Jesus loves you and that Jesus will take care of you. No matter what your situation is, no matter what your struggle is, no matter how hard life gets, he's going to take care of us. for tonight. It's like whatever you're going through, whatever's pressuring you, whatever feels like a load on your shoulders, man, just say, Lord, I'm giving this to you. Now, here's the big one. It's people that you love that you have no control over. Right? And you say, but Lord, I need to fix them. I need to change them. I need this to happen because this is going on and that's going on. I need this to happen. And you go, Lord, I need this to be changed. And so you're just constantly grieved over that. And the Lord is saying, would you give them to me and trust me with them? Now, anybody that has a adult children, it's like they're outside of your influence. And it's like, oh, God, if they just let me control their lives, they'd be so much better off because I have the experience and they wouldn't make the same stupid mistakes that I, you know, on and on and on. And the Lord's going, stop it. Stop it. I've told you this before, but when my son was born, And I had him in my hand here. I looked down at him. I said, God, you love me this much? And he spoke to my heart, I love you even more. He said, I've given you him as a gift, but he doesn't belong to you. He belongs to me. So the people that you're carrying the burden and is wearing you out, they don't belong to you. So give them back to the owner. Right? Give them back to the owner. If you're renting a house, you don't go, well, man, the furnace is out. I better worry about that. You call the landlord and say, hey, bud, you got to come over and fix the furnace. It belongs to you. Well, how about being that smart with the people that were around? Come on. Hallelujah. Cast all. In the Greek, it says all. Yeah, in the Hebrew, it means all. You know, come all, in total, complete, every bit of it. Cast all your cares because he cares for you. You don't know, and I don't know, although I'm learning, just how much God really cares for me. And he cares for you. But the more we're convinced of that, the more we can trust him with what's going on in our lives. Tonight, he has you here because he wants you to know that you can trust him with your care. And you can trust him with your care and what you're going. I'm talking about real things. I'm not talking about, you know, just fluff on the side and that we ought to just go through life without any trouble. That's not reality. Reality is we go through stuff. People hurt us. We lose jobs, we lose situation, our country gets in a mess. All of that stuff happens, but the reality is in the midst of all of that, we can be at peace because he cares for us. He cares for us. But you've got to come to Jesus, believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder if you'll diligently seek him. Turn back in the Psalms to Psalm 23. The 23rd Psalm. And I want you to claim, to realize, and to make it personal tonight, the first part of the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd. God Almighty is my shepherd. He's responsible for me. He cares for me. He takes me, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah God, Jesus in the flesh. Come on. He's my shepherd. Is he your shepherd? Is he your shepherd all the time or just when you're in church? This is a constant thing that we have to continually remind ourselves. Wait a minute. Yeah, I got troubles, but the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In other words, he's a good provider. He's a healer. He's a deliverer. He saved my soul. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with Him forever and ever and ever. Listen, trouble, I want to just tell you something. The Lord's my shepherd. Care, I want to tell you something. I want to remind you of something. The Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not. I will not. It's impossible for me to be in want. What does that mean? That whatever I have need of will be supplied because Jesus is Lord. I'm not talking necessarily of material things, although He'll do that too. But I'm talking about spiritual things. I'm talking about emotional things. I'm even talking about relational things. Where you can be in a relation with somebody but feel absolutely abandoned, isolated, and you know, just... But in the midst of that, He said He'd be your shepherd. And that He would fulfill the need that you have if you let Him. So He's saying tonight, do you need anything? Come to Me. Because I'm your shepherd. I'm your shepherd. He makes me to lie down on green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. He restores my soul. Sounds pretty much like what we read a little bit earlier. I'll give you rest. He'll restore your soul. But again, you have to come and you have to just believe that He is. And oftentimes we got to quiet down this thing that's shooting machine gun bullets of thoughts into our head, telling us that we'll never make it, it'll never happen, God's abandoned us. And you go, wait a minute, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside still water. Come on. And into green pastures. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. It's really interesting, but we're His children, and so we represent Him. He has a vested interest in us because we carry His name. That's so good. Now listen to what He says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That doesn't sound like a pleasant place to me. Right? I mean, where are you going? I'm going to the shadow of death. Woo, boy. Have a good time. Right? No, it's a place where there's struggle, where it's dark, where it seems oppressive. But listen, it says here that yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Just a thought. If you're in the valley of the shadow of death, keep walking. Don't camp out there. Don't build a house by the creek in the valley of the shadow of death. Right? Move on. Just keep. But even though I'm in that, even in my life, if that's what I'm going through, if that's what period in my life that I'm at, I can still come to Him because my Lord is my shepherd. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because the Lord's my shepherd. If I got God on my side, listen, I don't have to worry about anything. Right? I mean, you're going in to a group of people that they're kind of mean and mad at you, but you got Bubba on your side. Right? And Bubba is, you know, about 6'10". He weighs about 320, and there's not a bit of fat on him. He's the kind of guy that can crush, you know, a piece of bamboo in his hands and it just splinter. And Bubba's with you, and so you walk in and all the crowd's coming up to you, and they look mean, but they don't see you, they see Bubba. They're not going to mess with you because they know if they mess with you, Bubba's coming. I know that's a silly analogy, but the reality is the Lord is my shepherd. So I don't have to fear what the crowd will do when I know that Jehovah God is my shepherd. Right? Come unto Me, all you are heavy laden, for I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you. Yes, Lord. gladly, sir, I need you. Thank you for the opportunity. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Listen, I love this. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Right in the midst of what you're going through, amidst of the enemy bringing accusations against you, the midst of all of the stuff that you go through, just sit down and eat. Say, Lord, thank you for this food. Thank you that you're with me. Thank you that you won't desert me. Come on. My cup runs over. That's the cup of the new blood. The new covenant, which is His blood, right? That runs over. That spills over everything. All my mistakes, all my bad things, even the things that I've done wrong. His cup of His blood, it spills all completely over me. Surely. Everybody say surely. Now tonight, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You have trouble tonight? You have struggles tonight? Are you feeling like God's a million miles away? I'm telling you, come to Jesus because He's with you. And His promise is that surely His goodness and His mercy are following after you. That is so wonderful. And listen to this. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. What does that mean? I'll be in His presence forever. Come unto me. I've given you the invitation tonight. I've given you the invitation. All you have to do is come through the door instead of trying to come a different way. And the door is Jesus. Right? If you haven't made Jesus the Lord of your life, then you don't have entrance into the door. You have entrance, but you just haven't opened it yet. And the way to open it is say, Lord, I'm humbling myself before you. I know that I can't be right enough with you. But Lord, I'm asking you just the way I am with all my confusion, with all the stress in my life, with all the people that are making my life miserable. I'm coming to you just the way I am. And I'm asking you to become Lord of my life. I need a Savior. Jesus, I need you. I receive you right now by faith. In Jesus' name. And if you do that, just like the thief, Jesus will say, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Glory to God. It's so wonderful. It's so good. But let me pray for you right now in Jesus' name, and we'll close. Father, I'm so grateful for everybody that's here. But more than the folks that are here, Lord, I'm grateful that you're with us. I'm grateful that your promise declares that you're my shepherd. I'm grateful for the fact that you love me and that you're with me. And I want to thank you tonight. I want to thank you tonight for being here present in the room. And not just this room, whoever's listening on YouTube or Facebook. Lord, I just praise you that you're speaking to their hearts. And Lord, by faith, right now, collectively, every bit of care that we have right now, we're throwing up to you. We're not going to take it back. We just give it to you right now. In Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, that you'll care for us, that you'll take care of us, you'll see us through. And forever and ever we'll dwell in your presence. Thank you for it tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. And if you need anything, you know you can call me. And be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.